City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Hello and welcome back to City Current. We've had a little break over the holiday season and we're back for our first program of 2020. And we're back with Jason Timonic from the City of Bismarck because we had a Bismarck City Commission meeting last night.
We sure did.
Yeah, and it's Wednesday, January 15th, meeting again last night, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we're here to kind of digest what happened at the City Commission mm-hmm. meeting.
Well, thanks for having me, Mary.
Yeah, it's good to have you back in the chair. So let's start talking about that because it was a pretty busy meeting. There's a lot of agenda items that we pulled out for discussion, starting with the consent agenda, but none of those items were pulled for discussion by the commission.
Right.
So, but we wanted to just point out a few things. Starting with the Human Relations Committee for the City of Bismarck, there was a reappointment of a member.
Right.
And also a call for a public hearing on the revamping of their mission.
Right.
Yeah.
And the mission of the Human Relations Committee is part of the ordinance itself. So there's the process that we have to follow. So the mission is actually city law. And so anytime we change the mission statement for the Human Relations Committee, we've got to go through the same process we go through for any other ordinance itself. So the request last night was to call for the hearing, which we'll have in 2 weeks. And really where this is coming from with the Human Relations Committee, if anybody's not familiar with who they are or what they do, they're an advisory board to the commission. They meet once a month, third Monday of every month. And we're actually actively looking for members. We've got two open positions. So if anybody's curious on how they do that, we'd certainly welcome some new faces to the table. But with new eyes, new ideas, and the evolution of this committee, they're taking a look at who they are and what they're doing and recommending some slight changes.
Okay.
For the most part, the work that they do is to educate the community and reach out and share the awareness of the importance of diversity and some of the values that comes with in our community. So slight little tweak, but still part of the process. Okay. So that's where we will... We'll get this working through
and
the system.
The Shay Helling?
Shay Helling.
He was reappointed.
He was reappointed last night. He is the vice chairperson. So if the chair is away from the meeting that day, then Shay does a nice job of stepping in and conducting the meeting for the Human Relations Committee.
Sounds good.
So we certainly welcome Shay back. And I believe his appointment is for 3 years.
Okay.
So.
And you have two open positions.
We have
positions.
Two vacancies. So if anybody's interested, please call city administration or get on our website. There is a page for the Human Relations Committee, and we would welcome more new faces and new ideas to the committee as well.
Sounds good. Another call for a public hearing, which will happen in 2 weeks, had to do with the shift in the change of age requirements for the purchase of smoking products and e-products, tobacco products and e-products. So that's just following federal law that
exactly.
has just been passed.
Yep. We're responding to the changes that came just within the last month or so. Mm-hmm. And obviously the age of tobacco products has gone up to 21, so our local ordinances need to reflect that as well.
And I was a little confused. We talked earlier about if it's a federal mandate on this age shift, it doesn't just happen. The city has to pass an ordinance to comply.
Yeah, because our current regulations say 18, which was obviously in line with where the law was, federal law was before. So we're just simply responding to a national change.
So again, 2 weeks.
Two more weeks.
People want to make comments for or against this shift from its 18 to 21 years old.
Yep. Yep. They can sure come to the commission meeting and share their thoughts.
Sounds good. Another item on the consent agenda that we wanted to talk about has to do with the emergency homeless shelter that's been provided by United Way. Mm-hmm. This was a document, if you will, about measurable outcomes that were passed last night that the commission will be looking for from the shelter officials in response to the grant that was given for the 220 budget.
Right. So anybody that's familiar with grant work, there's typically a report that needs to follow to show how the money was used, how it was spent. And in this case, it's no different. The City of Bismarck committed $250,000 to the 24/7 emergency homeless shelter for United Way. That is for this year, for 2020. And to ensure that the money is going to support the needs of the shelter and the operations that are there, the commission outlined some material that we would like to hear back from United Way, either
data and statistics.
Data, and we're talking about, number of nights sheltered, women, children, men, families. If anybody was turned away for one reason or another, there are some stipulations that would keep people from entering the shelter under the influence. I believe sex offenders and certain felons are not allowed. And then also people with pets. If you show up looking for shelter and you have a pet, they're not equipped to handle that. So they do have situations where they need to turn people away. That would be part of the report as well, just to know if there's any gaps,
where
if there's
the
people
needs
are right. falling through the cracks. So we certainly trust that everything that United Way does is all for the right reasons, and this just emphasizes that work, and it just shows that the money that the city is using to support this operation is going to the right cause.
Yeah, and that operation, the emergency shelter is operating up and
it
operating
is. My understanding, they got doors open right after the first of the year, and they're 24/7 right now.
Okay.
So
sounds good. Last thing we wanted to talk about on the consent agenda and is an item that the contractors and developers have been watching very closely and part of the discussion, and that is the adoption of the building code, the 2018 mm-hmm. building and fire codes. We've talked about it.
We have a few times.
And we've seen the city of Mandan talk about it as well as both counties. So this process is moving forward, but the item on the agenda last night was not to adopt those. It was to allow a change in the presentation and the adoption date of this.
Right. I believe initially it was scheduled to come back at the end of this month, mm-hmm. which would have been the 28th of January. And there were some conflicts with some of the Home Builders Association members and some conflicting appointments and things. So the request was simply to move it down the line until the next meeting. So we'll see this at the first meeting in February, which I believe is the 11th.
Yep. That's what I have on my notes.
Okay.
It sounds
great.
Good. All right. Just a heads up on that one. Moving into the regular agenda. Last night was the first item was on the agenda was an appeal mm-hmm. of a Board of Adjustment decision that was made earlier, I believe last month.
It was in November.
It might have been
December. I think it was December's Board of Adjustment meeting.
So we're just talking about this primarily to let people know that there is a process to appeal decisions by some of these groups. And it ultimately will come to the City Commission, and that's mm-hmm. what happened last night.
Right.
So this was an appeal from a couple that have property out in Imperial Valley, mm-hmm. which sits in the ETA.
Exactly.
For an accessory building.
Right. So my understanding is they recently built a house in the last few years, and now they're looking for... we call it an accessory building. Some might call it a detached garage or a building for their stuff. Mm-hmm. And the request actually had two variance elements to it, meaning it didn't fit within the regulations that are on the books today. They wanted an increased sidewall height, which typically indicates to us that they have a taller piece of equipment or a camper or something that might not fit under a conventional garage door. So they're looking for a taller sidewall. And then also the footprint of the building, the current regulations stipulate that it can be up to 1,200 square feet. They were asking for 1,600 square feet. So a little bit larger in size and footprint, but mm-hmm. obviously they felt there was a need for that. When this came through the Board of Adjustment in December, the Board of Adjustment didn't have its full composition. There wasn't every member there. And for variances that are considered by the Board of Adjustment, they need to be approved by a 2/3 majority. Well, when you've got a person vacant from that meeting, you can't have a 2/3 majority. So there was a split vote at the Board of Adjustment, and ultimately the decision is to deny when you don't have that majority vote. So the owners appealed that decision to the City Commission, and the Commission has that jurisdiction or that authority to overturn a decision made by the Board of Adjustment, which is exactly what they did last night. So that the homeowners can now move forward with their larger, taller building in their backyard area, and they can hopefully get everything that they need to get off the driveway into that facility.
I think the other thing worth mentioning is, I'm not sure who mentioned it, but this was the second appeal for a decision for this type of structure, mm-hmm. higher sidewalls, larger footprint, in this particular area as well.
Exactly.
So this is the second time this has happened, and the commission encouraged staff to maybe take a look. Maybe it's time to rewrite those guidelines out there.
Yeah. And we've heard Ben Arith, the community development director, say this before, that the variance applications, the requests for relief from the ordinance, as those things start to amass, if there becomes a series of them that are similar over time, mm-hmm. that's the indicator that maybe we need to take a look at these regulations. They might not be as appropriate as they were 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
We've got taller vehicles or situations change. So I certainly don't want to give anyone the impression that all the ordinances are stagnant and etched in stone. There are things that do evolve, and this is an example of how that works. The commission directed staff to look at other situations in that neighborhood and throughout that entire zoning district in the community, and then come back with some type of a report to say, you know, we're okay where we are. These are two kind of anomalies, or, you know, folks, you're right. We really should increase the size of these buildings again.
All right. So we might hear more about this in the future. Mm-hmm. Also on the regular agenda was a calling for a public hearing that, again, in 2 weeks, mm-hmm. come back to the commission on competitive bidding requirements.
Right.
So this is something that, again, is kind of following federal regulations and things mm-hmm. that have changed over time.
Yes. So in the past, anything that the city were to purchase, like a piece of equipment, if it's over $25,000, the ordinances tell us that we have to get three like competitive bids to make sure that we're procuring the best equipment that meets all the specifications that we're looking for. Well, as a result of some of the changes at the federal level, that dollar amount has increased from $25,000 to $50,000. Mm. We're following suit. We've increased that number because the price of things are going up, and it's just the sign of the times, so to speak. So to allow staff to be a little more nimble in the procurement of equipment, I certainly don't want to suggest that anything, you know, isn't appropriate here. We're just recognizing that the cost of things is increasing, and we're enabling staff to be responsive to the changes in the environment, and we're giving them a little more wiggle room to procure equipment if it's under $50,000.
So that'll be public hearing 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. People have input on that.
Yep.
They can appear at the commission. I think this is an exciting item that's on the agenda that could shift a lot of facilities in our community. And the commission last night approved architectural and engineering services mm-hmm. for public work, for the facilities for public works, public health, and the police department, which
right.
is very interesting. And we, again, had been talking earlier about the police department is pretty packed into mm-hmm. their building right now. Mm-hmm. Their parking is not adequate
right.
where they're at. We know that public health is going to be shifting out of that building that they're mm-hmm. in. So there's a mm-hmm. huge need right
yeah.
there. And you also said that they're likely going to be in there for 18 months after the closing of the sale.
Right.
So that could be like 2 years from
yeah.
now.
Yeah, and we're under the understanding that University of Mary is still committed to buying the public health building, which is part of what's causing these dominoes to start to fall, is that we do need to find a new home for mm-hmm. public health. As you mentioned, our police department it's a little inadequate for the size of the staff that we have today. And quite honestly, we actually rent parking from one of the neighbors to allow enough parking for all the staff. Because, of course, every officer that's there has a vehicle. And then we've got all the fleet mm-hmm. the police department uses as well. So we've done a space needs study. We recognize that there are some changes that are happening. And it's fair to say that the city recently acquired just over 8 acres directly north of the Public Works facility on 26th Street.
So that's how they come into this conversation.
So now Public
right?
Works is looking at where do we grow? How do we grow? Because if you've seen recent news stories, we've added over 50 center lane miles of roadway, and we've added no new staff, not much new equipment. As our community continues to grow, we're going to need to grow as well. So it's nice to have options.
Mm-hmm.
We have some land, we have some needs, we have some resources. What we're asking for is for some professionals to help us through this process to make sure that if we build something, it's in the right place, it's of the right size, it meets the needs that we have mm-hmm. on the table today.
And to look at these projects collectively
Absolutely.
Is going to be more efficient for
right.
us to
and,
do.
And we simply don't have the resources internally. We don't have architects and engineers of that style, design engineers, civil engineering, to do that type of work. So we reached to the consultants in the area, and that's exactly what we were asking for last night, was the ability to essentially raise the flag and say, hey, we're looking for some professional services.
So an RFP, a request for proposals, mm-hmm. will be out there
right.
soon,
yep.
I would assume. And how long of a period of time? When do you expect those proposals to be submitted?
Oh, I would say we would generally give the professionals, you know, a month time
okay.
from when we push that out there to build a package, build a proposal, come together. And oftentimes what we'll do is we'll have interviews. You know, because we'll have very competitive businesses that are interested in providing this service to the city. We want to make sure that it's the right fit for everybody. So, you know, I'd say in the next couple of months, we should see some things starting to move forward in a positive direction.
Will you require that proposals, the proposals you receive encompass all three entities, or are you looking at them somewhat individually?
You know, given what we know today, that there are some defined changes that are coming, I suspect we'll be looking at it as a comprehensive package.
Okay.
Just to make the most sense out of everything. Because if we are talking about public health moving, we want them to be in a location that's accessible. We don't want to put them out on the edge where people that may need those services might not have the transportation needs to get there. And we certainly don't want them isolated by any means as well. So we've been talking about public health for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've been having this conversation with University of Mary about buying that facility. So these changes aren't necessarily surprises, but we, again, want to make sure that whatever changes we implement are the best changes that make the most sense.
Yeah. Well, and I would think the challenge would come into play with these three entities have completely different needs.
Completely different. And we're not talking about small departments.
Right. You know,
Public Works is one of our largest departments, both physically and in numbers of staff. The police department is well over 150 full-time employees. Public Health is somewhere between 40 and 50 employees. So we're really talking about a good portion of our workforce, and obviously fleet and other things. When I say fleet, we're talking about equipment, police vehicles, all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, this will be a big project for us.
Yeah. Well, we'll be talking about it
again.
We
will. I'm sure we will. We'll try and do our best to keep everybody informed.
One of the items on the agenda, moving on to the next item, and this was discussed at length, Gabe Shell, your city engineer, brought forward some suggestions for lane configuration changes on two big road projects that improvements are scheduled for this summer.
Right.
And this is the impetus to, and the timing works well as long as you're going to do these projects. Let's figure out the lane configuration so the markings are right from the beginning. So, but it was a fairly lengthy discussion. We got two particular areas. Let's start with East Divide.
Okay.
East Divide Avenue from 19th over to
Volk Drive, which is just east of 26th Street, kind of in that neighborhood of Sleepy Hollow.
Sure. And that is going, the suggestion there, Josh just brought up the map. Thank you, Josh. So that shows the in the area that it's going to land in. The biggest part of the discussion last night was the potential for removing some parking spaces. Right. I don't think it was a huge amount, but it was
a handful of
five spaces, for nine or something like that.
Primarily around that 2200 block of East Divide. So really closer to the apartments that are on.
And the reason for it is on the screen right now, again, would be creating a three-lane configuration up here primarily, and that's why, because it's currently two.
And for anybody that doesn't have a screen in front of them, when we say a three-lane configuration, we're really talking about a dedicated north and south lane, or in this case, a dedicated east and west lane, and then a center left turn lane. So similar to the transition that we've seen with Main Avenue downtown. Also, for anybody that's driven Broadway through downtown all the way over to 26th Street, Broadway is a three-lane configuration today with a dedicated center turn lane. So it's not a new concept. It's actually a concept that increases safety because you potentially reduce the number of rear-end collisions because you're now giving people that want to get out of the way that center lane for their refuge so they can make that left turn lane. But for those cars that are moving through the corridor, there's fewer stops and hiccups with the transitions of people coming and going in and out of that roadway network.
And again, if you can see a screen, you're going to see that there's bicycles in there on either side as well. So it does call for bike markings or bike lanes in this area.
And the idea there is that we would be continuing the bike lanes that are already established on Divide Avenue, but then also moving in further to the east and connecting with the trail network that starts and encompasses the Sleepy Hollow Park area.
And I should have said at the beginning that the commissions last night did not adopt these suggestions. Basically, what they said was, we want more information. We want more public awareness being built because, again, in the Divide Avenue area, we've got removal of parking, which is always an impact to neighbors, multifamily apartments up there, a lot of that. So there needs to be information given and received up in that area. Now, the South Washington Street area, completely switching gears, going down in that area, is all the way from Expressway down to the ditch.
To the drainage ditch.
Yeah.
So, For lack of a better landmark, Solheim Elementary would be the southern terminus. So when Washington Street converges, converges from a four-lane down to the two-lane roadway that we see. So it's the four-lane section that we have today. And again, it's the same conversation all over again. Currently, we've got two lanes. Some would argue that that left lane often functions as a turn lane, because if you're southbound on Washington Street and you need to head to the east, you need to make a left turn. So with a dedicated left turn lane, you could do that in a safe way. Right now, with two lanes in each direction, that leftmost lane often functions as a turn lane.
So the recommendation from staff on South Washington is taking the four-lane to three-lane.
Right. And there's no parking on South Washington, so that isn't part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's just simply Gabe Schell, our city engineer, is looking to improve safety. And the information that he has, the reports that are out there show a three-lane section is safer than a four-lane section, because it limits the ability for drivers to kind of weave in and out of those lanes. You know, say you're in the left lane and the person in front of you wants to turn left, you may be inclined to get out in that right lane and pass that person. Well, if you don't do it safely, you might get clipped, you might get sideswiped. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen. So
it seemed that most of the concern expressed by the commissioners last night had to do with those perpendicular streets, Wachter, Reno.
There's a few others.
That now people coming from those streets and turning onto Washington are going to be delayed because of this structure. Yeah. Well, that remains to be seen, of course. But again, similar to the Divide Avenue, was we need to provide more information. We need to get more ears and eyes on this and get some feedback, because if we go ahead and just implement this, we could get some major pushback right away. And I think it was Commissioner Oban who expressed concern about Solheim and talking to even the crossing guard there and getting some feedback and making sure that they're aware that these changes are coming, because you have all these kids being dropped off and picked up at a grade school.
Yeah. And again, I think it's fair to mention, going back, what's causing this conversation is that there are street maintenance projects scheduled for these sections of the roadway. So Gabe's comment was, well, we're going to be taking the surface off the roadway and putting back a new surface. We just need to know what type of pavement markings come next.
Yeah. So direction to staff was go back,
reach out to the neighbors, get some feedback, get some input, and then come back as soon as you can with more information to help the commissioners make the most informed decision.
And he mentioned, Gabe mentioned, I think there's an MPO public meeting with transportation issues coming up that is already open to the public, and they're going to push out some more information.
Yeah. I believe that's next week, Wednesday.
Okay.
I'm going to say it was the 22nd the time that they had mentioned. For anybody that's curious, go back and watch the replay, and you can key right into Gabe's comments and hear all that firsthand.
Mm-hmm. So, or the website.
Or by all means, can feel free to call our city engineering department, 355-1505, and they can help answer some questions too.
Okay.
An important topic. We certainly recognize there's a lot of folks that use South Washington Street several times a day.
Yeah.
And it's good to have that dialogue. It's good to have this opportunity to take a pause and just make sure we're making all the right decisions.
Speaking of taking a pause, there was an item on the agenda also last night about special assessments and some revisions to that document and how special assessments are set up in the community. And it ended up being a bigger part of your meeting than you expected, because Commissioner Zenker brought it up and said, could we have a more detailed discussion? And he talked about, you know, the debt incurred on all the special assessments that are out there. And eventually getting out of special assessments is the goal anyway for the city, and has been working towards that. So it was a lengthy discussion.
It was. And this is part of a much longer discussion that we've been having for almost 4 years now of special assessments. We understand that they're frustrating for some people. They're confusing for some people. They're difficult to manage. His conversation last night was, can we take a year off and not incur any more debt? Can we stop and take a pause? One of the things that we need to say is that the city of Bismarck every year has dedicated $9.6 million from sales tax that we collect. That goes towards buying down the cost of special assessments. So a property owner isn't incurring the true cost of the street improvement or the street maintenance or the work that's being done. The city is subsidizing that with the $9.6 million that we collect from sales tax. Commissioner Zenker was trying to stir the conversation of what if we just used that amount of money each year and didn't add to the specials balance, but just more or less budgeted with what we have. I think some of the resistance from the other commissioners was that that isn't enough. You know, we have a very deliberate street maintenance program. Mm-hmm. We have sophisticated software that actually more or less x-rays the condition of the roadway surface, tells us if this asphalt is good, if it's need of repair, those types of things. So we don't just throw a dart at the map. We have a very systematic mm-hmm. approach to
and
the street maintenance
that
we
before.
Do. Right. And if we stop that process or if we hit pause on something like that, there are already projects in place. There are already bonds that are out there. There are already things that are moving forward. And if we stop this year, when do we pick it up again?
Right.
Are we that
could
far behind?
Up.
Yeah. Many people certainly don't like potholes, but I live here. You live here. I would go so far as to say we have some of the best streets in the region when you think about the condition of the roadways. That is very deliberate and a very prescribed outcome from the work that's being done. Mm-hmm. If we call time out and stop doing those things, we need to accept that some of these roadways are going to deteriorate much more quickly because we're not doing the maintenance that needs to be done.
Yeah.
So a fair question from Commissioner Zenker. Appreciate the spirited discussion last night and the new ideas that are coming out. Ultimately, yeah, we'd love to be able to find a new way to deal with street maintenance, and we're trying to work with the legislature for some changes in 2021. We've got some committees that are happening. Administrator Hunke is very much a part of those conversations. Unfortunately, these things just take a little time mm-hmm. to work through this.
It's a complex issue. What
robust,
do you do with all the assessments that
absolutely.
Are in place right now? How do you move from that system into mm-hmm. a maintenance fund or fee, the utility fee mm-hmm. or whatever it ends up being called?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pieces to
yeah.
this. And I think ultimately it appeared that all the commissioners and the mayor agreed with the concept mm-hmm. That in the goal that Commissioner Zenker was suggesting, it's just going to take a little longer to
right.
get there.
Yeah, and because specials are so intricate, if you move one piece here, there might be two other pieces that move over there. So we've got to make sure that we're taking this comprehensive review of everything and not mm-hmm. just moving a few key pieces and hoping for the best outcome. So
even Michelle Closey, head of the water in the community, got mm-hmm. up and said this could have an impact on us as well.
Exactly. And to Michelle's point is that a lot of the cast iron water main replacements that are happening are being done in conjunction with roadway projects.
Sure.
So we've seen these where old roads need to get torn out and rebuilt. Well, before we even start the roadway, we're putting fresh pipe in the ground. And with that schedule of things, if we stop doing road improvements, what else do we have to stop doing? Because we don't want to tear up a road and fix a pipe or mm-hmm. replace a pipe and then put a road on top, only to come back 2 years later and totally rebuild the roadway again. It's just not efficient.
Right.
It's not practical.
No,
so,
it happens, but you don't want it to.
Right.
To
and when we can avoid
that.
It, we should do that at all costs. So we'll continue to see this conversation evolve.
Yeah, absolutely. So the special assessments, the policy adjustments did go forward last night.
Right.
So
and
continue
those were,
working on the bigger picture.
Right. And those I don't want to gloss over those changes. They were not necessarily substantive changes, but they were changes that will help staff reflect the work that's being done. The general public wouldn't notice a change to the policy itself. Unfortunately, we'll still do specials this way, you know, for the next year at least, until we see major changes from the state level.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. We're getting the signal. We're out of time already. We had a lot of stuff to talk about.
I tried talking really fast, too.
You did it very well. Well, thanks for being here, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Great.
All right.
Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Jason. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit bismarcknd.gov or call 701-355-1300. If you have suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access, Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.